Good morning, Radhakala Chanjidam. Good morning to all the assembled devotees, those that are seen and unseen in the material and spiritual universe. On this Monday, I guess we are almost at the end of March, March 27th, we are going to continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 13, and today we're going to cover text 5, and possibly 6, but before we do that, we like to have the mercy of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, and of course, our principal deities here in the Dham, that's Radhakala Chanji, Gornitai, Chota Radhakala Chanji, Radha Govinda, Lord Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra, Lord Radhakala Chanji. So before we start, I'd like to sing Radha Madhava. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dari. Yashodanandana Braja Chararanjanan. Yashodanandana Braja Chararanjanan. Yashodanandana Braja Chararanjanan. Yashodanandana Braja Chararanjanan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Kalachanji, Radha Kalachanji, Radhe. Radha Kalachanji, Radha Kalachanji, Jaya Radha Kalachanji, Radha Kalachanji, Radhe. Jaya Jaya Jagannath 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 Jaya Jaya Jagannath Jaya Jagannath 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 Jaya Jaya Jagannath Jaya Jaya Baladev Baladev Baladev, Jaya Jaya Baladev, Jaya Jaya Baladev, 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 Jaya Jaya Baladev, Jaya Jaya Subhadra, 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 Jaya Jaya Subhadra. Jaya Jaya Subhadra, 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 Jaya Jaya Subhadra, Jaya Jaya Gornitai, 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 Jaya Jaya Gornitai, Jaya Gornitai, Gornitai. Gornitai, Jaya 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 Chotarara Kalachanji Chotarara Kalachanji Radhe Jaya Jota Kalara Kalachanji Chotarara Kalachanji Radhe Chotarara Kalachanji Chotarara Kalachanji Radhe Chotarara Kalachanji, Chotarara Kalachanji Radhe, Jaya Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda Radhe, Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda Radhe, Jaya Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda Radhe, Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda Radhe, Itai Goro Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Hari Bol, Nitai Goro Hari Bol, Nitai Goro Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Goro Hari Bol, Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Jaya Gurudev, 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 Jaya Jaya Gurudev, Jaya Jaya Gurudev, 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 Jaya Jaya Gurudev.
Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Premananda. Hari 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 Bo. Well, today it's very interesting because the topic is in the mode of goodness. And as a rule, given a decent topic, and all the topics in the Bhagavad Gita are very decent topics, I can just ramble on and on and on. But I think I must be having some issues with the mode of goodness because I usually take a look and I study, and then I think the next morning, and it all comes to me, and I kept going back to, okay, the mode of goodness, da-da-da-da-da. And then I looked at the beginning of the chapter. But before we go into that, let's get the mercy of the Vedas, Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, covering text 5, chapter 13, in canto 11, and the topic of the chapter is the Hamsa Avatar answers questions. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Gnanavitimarandasya Garanjanan Chalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tashmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadandikam. And that prayer grounds me, and it helps me to understand that I don't know everything. It's when we get to the point where we think we know everything, where we're in, when we have a situation or a problem, that ego gets in the way. And actually, it says, I was born in darkness. My spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my most respectful, humble obeisances to my spiritual master. Text 5. And because text 5 doesn't have a purport, we're going to go into text 6. I know it's not up there, so we can repeat after I read the shloka for text 5. And then we'll repeat together the shloka for text 6. Unless someone has it on their iPod or has it where they can see it, because we only had enough room to write one shloka. Tat tat satvikam ivesham yad yad vrida prachakshate nidandi tamasat tat tat rajasam tad upekshitam. Tat tat sattvika evesham yad yad vridaha prachakshate nindanti tamansam tat tat rajasam tat upekshitam. Tat tat sattvikam evesham yad yad vridaha prachakshate nindanti tamasam tat tat rajasam tat upekshikam. Would anyone like to read that fifth shloka? Tat tat sattvikam ivesham yad yad vrida prachakshate nidanti tamasham tat tat rajasam tadupekshitam. Tat tat sattvikam ivesham. Yad yad vridaha prachakshate. Nidanti tamasyam tatat. Rajasam tadupekshitam. Tatat. Those things. Satvikam. In the mode of goodness. Eva. Indeed. Esham. Among the 10 items. Yat-yat. Whatever. Vridaha. The sages of the past, such as Vyasadeva, who are expert in Vedic knowledge. Prachakshate. They praise. Nindanti. They scorn. Tamasam. In the mode of ignorance. Tatat. Those things. Rajasam. In the mode of passion. Tat. By the sages. Upekshitam. Left alone. Neither praised nor criticized. The translation is, among the 10 items I have just mentioned, the great sages who understand Vedic knowledge have praised and recommended those that are in the mode of goodness, criticized and rejected those in the mode of ignorance, and shown indifference to those in the mode of passion. And we can repeat together, among the 10 items I have just mentioned, the great sages who understand the Vedic knowledge have praised and recommended those that are in the mode of goodness, criticized and rejected those in the mode of passion, in the mode of ignorance, and shown indifference to those in the mode of passion. Because there is no purport, we'll go to text 6. The one that we could not put up because there was not enough room. Satvikani eva saveta pumam sattva vivridyahe tatadamas tato ginyam yavatsmiti apohanam sattvikani eva saveta pumam sattva vivridyahe tatadamos tato ginyanam yavatsmiti apohanam sattvikani eva saveta pumam sattva vivridyahe tata. Tato damas tato ginyanam yavatsmiti apohanam. Word for word. Satvikani. Things in the mode of goodness. Eva. Indeed. Saveta. He should culminate. Cultivate. Pumam. A person. Sattva. The mode of goodness. The vridyahe, in order to increase. Tata, from that increase in goodness. Dhammaha, one is fixed in religious principles. Tata, from that religion. Jnanam, knowledge is manifest. Yavat, until. Smriti, self-realization. Remembering one's eternal identity. Apohanam, driving away the illusory identification with the material body and mind. Translation. Until one revives one's direct knowledge of the spirit soul and drives away the illusory identification with the material body and mind caused by the three modes of nature, One must cultivate those things in the mode of goodness. By increasing the mode of goodness, one automatically can understand and practice religious principles, and by such practice, transcendental knowledge is awakened. So we'll repeat, until one revives one's direct knowledge of the spirit soul and drives away the illusory identification with the material body and mind caused by the three modes of nature, one must cultivate those things in the mode of goodness. By increasing the mode of goodness, one automatically can understand and practice religious principles. And by such praise, and by such practice, transcendental knowledge is awakened. Now the purport here is one who desires to cultivate the mode of goodness must consider the following points. One should study religious scriptures that teach detachment from mental speculation and material sense gratification, not scriptures that provide rituals and mantras to increase material ignorance. Such materialistic scriptures do not give attention to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus are basically atheistic. One should accept pure water for quenching thirst and cleaning the body. There is no need for a devotee to use colognes, perfume, whiskey, beer, etc., which are all polluted manifestations of water. One should associate with persons who are cultivating detachment from the material world and not with those who are materially attached or sinful in their behavior. One should live in a solitary place where devotional service is practiced and discussed among Vaishnavas. One should not be spontaneously attracted to busy highways, shopping centers, sports stadiums, and so on. Concerning time, one should rise by 4 o'clock in the morning and utilize the auspicious Brahma Muhurte to advance in Krishna consciousness. Similarly, one should avoid the sinful influence of hours such as midnight, when ghosts and demons are encouraged to become active. Concerning work, one should execute one's prescribed duties, Follow the regulative principles of spiritual life and utilize all of one's energy for pious purposes. Time should not be wasted in frivolous or materialistic activities, of which there are now literally millions in modern society. One can cultivate birth in the mode of goodness by accepting the second birth of initiation from a bona fide spiritual master and learning to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. One should not accept initiation or so-called spiritual birth in unauthorized mystical or religious cults in the modes of passion and ignorance. One should meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the enjoyer of all sacrifices. And similarly, one should meditate on the lives of great devotees and saintly persons. One should not meditate on lusty women and envious men. Concerning mantras, one should follow the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and not other songs, verses, poetry, or mantras that glorify the kingdom of illusion. Purificatory rituals should be performed to purify the spirit soul and not to bring down material blessings on one's material household. One who increases the mode of goodness will certainly become fixed in religious principles, and automatically knowledge will arise. As knowledge increases, one is able to understand the eternal spirit soul and the supreme soul. Thus, the soul becomes free from the artificial imposition of the gross and subtle material bodies caused by the modes of material nature. Spiritual knowledge burns to ashes the material designations that cover the living entity, and one's real eternal life begins. And as usual, in a really good book, but these scriptures are beyond books. As one gets closer and closer to the end of a particular section, it becomes more interesting. The information becomes so much deeper. And it's a really good time to focus. And with the different modes of material nature, it is very important for us to understand the three modes. And I know in this chapter it will discuss more in depth the three modes, what they are, how they can be described specifically, and how one can advance beyond them, how to identify one in a particular mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. In the very beginning of the chapter, chapter 13. Let's find it. It was talking about how one must reach or attain Vasada Sattva, which is the maturity of goodness, or the transcendental platform. And once you're there, all knowledge is automatically manifest. And at this point, at that very point, one is to understand their relationship with Krishna. And also in the beginning of the text, the next description was vridaha, vridat, that strengthened, increased, or growth, and that growth should not be stopped until one reaches full maturity. It is also noted that an increase in the mode of religious principles strengthens the mode of goodness, and the mode of goodness increases the religious principles, vice versa. Also, the mode of goodness increases spiritual happiness, and it goes on to relate the mode of goodness with religious principles again, and it also explains that when one is in the mode of goodness and one increases the practice sincerely of the mode of goodness, it decreases the other modes of passion and ignorance. And in that way, one's mind cannot be fodder for the devil's playground, as they call it. It's very difficult to practice or to engage in devotional service and separately focus on other modes. It's very difficult. So again, going back to the fact that it's scientific, when you're engaging in the mode of goodness, the other negative modes are decreased. And also, it perfects other parts of your consciousness. The Yeah, that reminds me of when Srila Prabhupada says, when you're, I can almost hear it vibrating when one is in the mode of goodness, it is difficult
to separately engage in any other activities. I'm probably not quoting it right. But also, one should, also on this path of the mode of goodness, there's some things that we should take care of, things that we don't generally think about in spiritual advancement. One should take care of how one dresses, the clothing. One should take care of what one consumes or eats. One should take care of the association, that you're in the proper association of someone that's in the mode of goodness, that you are reading the proper scriptures and not someone's opinion of a scripture, and just to specifically target that point, it means if you're going to read Bhagavad Gita, you should be reading Bhagavad Gita as it is. Also, the type of work that you do, if you're fortunate enough to do the type of work where you can dovetail whatever that work is in the mode of goodness. And also, we have to balance our lives. We're in the material world, so if you work, you play. You also have to be considerate of how you play. And it mentions the 10 items that we should be cautious of. I think that's in text 3 of chapter 13. And I just wanted to bring that up again. Text 4. And here it is. This is in the translation of text 4. It mentions that according to the quality of religious scriptures, water, one's association with one's children or with people in general, the particular place, the time, the activities, the meditation, chanting of mantras and purificatory rituals, the modes of nature become differently prominent, and that's depending on how we are how we are experiencing those modes of nature. And it says the 10 items mentioned above possess either superior and or inferior qualities depending on how we utilize it. Ordinarily, the normal is, or the norms, it always said the norms, the norm is the name of some guy that lives in the Bronx, so there really is no norm, but the norm is that one should, this is important though, one should take pure water, and when one is cleansing oneself, one should only use water. I have to add a little extra here, because we're in Kali Yuga. So some situations that may have been perfect. Now this may work for some people. You can just use water and that works. But we're in Kali Yuga right now. So many different bacteria that are going on. So in some situations, you may have to use a little extra other than water. Maybe some soap. You know, and initially it said colognes are not necessary. They really are not. But and I'm not trying to give anyone any instructions on how to clean, but we should start off with clear, with pure water. And in some circumstances, you can just use water to clean the body. In other circumstances, you may have to use a little something extra. Also, in dovetailing, and this one is personal. I'll always try to bring something personal in so I can speak on something that I know. That in the career that you have, whatever it is, whatever you've been allowed to select as a career, you should somehow or another dovetail that service. Let's say you're working at a vegetarian restaurant. I was going to say McDonald's or something. But when you're greeting people, you should be looking at God in the heart and Krishna. You should be looking for the good in that person instead of treating them as a number. You know, dovetailing what you're learning here and spreading it to some extent, you know, to your surroundings. In my particular case, it was dovetailing compassion and understanding in a particular corporation where I was responsible for collecting revenue, and if the revenue was not collected, usually in a full amount, then I would initiate an employee to go out and discontinue power at various businesses and residences. And I discovered initially that the company that I worked for did not appear to have a lot of compassion. And when you're just getting a job and the money's kind of nice, you just kind of go along with the program. But Krishna happened. And I came across some devotees. And I began to understand you just can't treat people as numbers, and everybody does not fall in the same category. Thank God we're all different. It adds so much variety. But the point was, the company would select the areas of those who were in destitute areas, whose income was low, and they were poor, and they would set out a route of men to go out and cut those services before they would go into the very affluent areas. Now, mind you, in most of the affluent areas, the houses were bigger. The what they used was increased, so their bills were larger. And what the company would do is let those employees just let those customers just kind of float along with these bills that amounted to hundreds and thousands of dollars. And the company's philosophy, their thinking was, well, these people are well-to-do, and they'll eventually pay the bill, whereas these poor people, we're going to have a problem with them, so let's cut them first. Well, the big joke was the affluent families knew how to play the system. It was who they knew, and their bill could be due. It could be past due. It could be past due for months, and they wouldn't pay it. And then when it came time to discontinue whatever that particular service was, they would get on the phone and call a particular judge or someone in Congress, or all of a sudden there would be a senior citizen at the house who had this horrible condition. They would play the system. And when I got the hang of this, I started dovetailing my service. And what I would do is I would make very reasonable arrangements for people based on what they could actually pay. And I made them based on my decision. Did I catch flack for it? Yes. But somebody had to speak up for the person that was not using the system. So I did that. That was my way of dovetailing it. And the other way was setting up these accounts where hundreds and thousands was owing. And I didn't hesitate to send someone out to clip the service. At a certain point, you begin to develop such faith and belief in Krishna and knowing that you're doing the right thing that you just do it anyway. And you can do that when you're dovetailing your services. And that too is in the mode of goodness. The other point, sometimes when I'm getting off track, I love telling stories, true stories. But there are some other points as far as the mode of goodness. And one was, yes, I remember now. Association. Association is, I'm very fortunate to have people that are around me, that are close to me, that are devotees.
I like that. I get a lot from it. And it's even better when that particular devotee is speaking Krishna Katha. I don't want to know about who did what, because it has no impact on me, and it's already done. And I don't do mundane conversation, so sometimes it appears like I'm standoffish. I'm not really standoffish, but I'm trying to get better at my sadhana. So we should be very careful as to who we sit down and listen to, or who we allow to invade our personal space. Because Krishna is in the heart, so you have to protect that. It's very important, and it's not being standoffish. You're protecting a valuable asset. That's your soul. So there is nothing wrong with that. We should be very cautious of that. We shouldn't be so attached. And I may run into some problems with the guys on this because it's a testosterone thing. We shouldn't be so attached to the sports. You know, what team, what basketball team, what football team. I mean, various times when there's a specific big game going on, football specifically, I noticed here, and there's nothing wrong with enjoying yourself and balancing your happiness, but I've noticed devotees will completely skip the temple and go to the game. We should not be so attached to these things, women and men. We shouldn't be so attached to going to the mall and shopping, going to various places. I mean, if it's not adding to your spirituality, what's the point? And it does not mean that in Krishna consciousness you cannot have fun, because I've had more fun when I've understood what needs to be done in the process that it takes to develop Krishna consciousness. I've had more fun doing this than I've had doing anything else. And it's lasted a long time. And in general, I get bored very easily. I'm sure it's some defect I have, but in Krishna consciousness, not bored one day. There's too much information. There's a lot of too much information that's good information. So I think sometimes it's almost impossible to go through all of it in one lifetime. Not that I want to go come back for another lifetime, but if Krishna wants me back, then that's up to Krishna. But we have to guard what we do, what we read, what we listen to, who we associate with, what we take in, the food that we take in. Is it in the mode of goodness? Is it in the mode of passion? This step in the book, where we're going with this, is that, yes, you got to have the foundation of chanting the Maha Mantra. You have got to. It is very important to read the scriptures. You got to have association. That is your foundation. You do not take it away. But at some point, it is supposed to lead to love of God. And then you develop transcendental knowledge. And then, in that knowledge, you can understand who you are in your relationship with Krishna. It is possible. I've heard of different devotees, some that are still in their bodies, who, after they've been in the movement for some time, most of them have been in the movement for a while, which means that you just can't come in and jump in and practice this and be done. But most of them have been in the movement for a while. They will have moments of consciousness where they actually can experience who they were in a previous life. Now, don't come into Krishna consciousness because mainly you want to see who you are, but it'll develop naturally. But the point is, all of the sadhana that we're having, the processes by which we're going, you cannot stop it, because it will lead to the understanding of who you are and what your relationship is
with God, but more so, you will develop love of God. And at that point, you will be given unlimited amounts of knowledge. I know that it comes. I've had periods, not a lot, because I'm still developing. I'm not quite there yet. But I would have periods where, you know, I would have challenges. And I don't have any problems praying to Krishna saying, please help me. I do not know how to solve this. And if it's a particular situation where it's health, it's like, you know, lead me to the proper area that will facilitate some relief of pain here. You know, that specifically. And I'll be, not long after that, I'll get some information. I don't know how to explain how it comes, but information that I've never used before, but it works for me. But that's not even the tip of the iceberg. When you develop love of God, true knowledge comes. And when you have that knowledge in the mode of goodness, when you're in the mode of goodness, that knowledge, you develop that knowledge. The mode of goodness is an endeavor. It's a process. But as I, let me keep track of it. As I said, as we're going through chapter 13 and probably, and probably beyond it, I don't want to give it all away, but it will talk about even our various attachments to the mode of goodness, because everything that you're reading is factual and is for where you are right now. And once you've evolved to that point, then there's additional information. So it's very important to take your time reading the scriptures, sitting in, listening to someone that is explaining the scriptures to you and asking questions. But here, the Hamsa avatar, the swan, is answering the questions here in chapter 13. I think I may have gone a little bit more into the next text, so I'm trying not to give any of that away. So bear with me while I eliminate some things that are here. Okay, and we'll go here. It was also, this is also discussing different things that could place one in the mode of goodness. It was discussing being able to live in an isolated place where you are in the association of devotees, like you're in the mode of goodness. And here you're in the mode of devotees that are practicing the mode of goodness in a community. It's not so isolated, but it is possible in Kali Yuga to be in an environment not so much like the environment that was there 5,000 years ago, but it is possible to be in the right, an isolated, semi-isolated situation where you're getting knowledge from those that are much more experienced than you are. It is also important to rise at the hour of the Brahma Muhurti. Now, I'm speaking from my own experiences. I'm speaking because what I speak is factual. However, I know some exceptions. It's very important. In the hour of the Brahma Muhurti, it's like the energy or the consciousness is so much purer. You can go through your rounds so much easier. You can pick up on the scriptures that you're reading. You can meditate. It is the perfect time. However, one that is able to practice in that method should be very cautious looking down at someone who's not able to do it. Because if we don't understand why one is not able to get up at a specific hour, we should curb our tongues as far as thinking that this person is inferior or they're in a mode of ignorance. There are various things that can delay a person's awakening at the hour of the Brahma Muhurti. The point I'm making is that it is very, very auspicious to wake at that time. And it's something that if we are not at that point, we should constantly be gravitating for, regardless of what our immediate situation is. And the other part that was mentioned in text 4 was your birth. Now, all of us have taken birth dependent on the particular family that we selected. Whether it's a high birth or not, it really doesn't matter. Whether it's a low birth or not, it doesn't matter. That's the nice part about Krishna consciousness. It doesn't matter where you come from. You can reach any particular level in Krishna consciousness based on your sincerity and your efforts. But as far as elevating the process of the birth that you take, Brahmana initiation is recommended. Now, with Brahmana initiation, one should not ask for it. It's my understanding, and if any of the senior devotees were here, they would probably, if there was a correction made, they would correct it. But I don't believe one is supposed to ask for Brahmana initiation, and it is not that it makes a person so not always highly elevated. You're considered highly elevated, but it's like an explosive device. You're given it. And I heard someone explain this with Brahmana initiation. Sometimes you don't deserve it in the way that you think you do. But you're given it so that either you will sink or swim. And that's usually in the situation where you ask for it. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to be recommended for it. I should have told everyone to turn their phones off, and I'm the one that's guilty of having one that even has the audacity to ring. I'm sorry. Excuse me. The other thing that we should be cautious about is when we do not understand that this process of Krishna consciousness is very serious, we shouldn't take unauthorized initiation, for mystical powers or for material gain or anything. None of those things are really leading any of us on the path to Krishna consciousness. Some of us are very taken back by mystical. It's interesting for a moment. It's like a piece of glass or something. It glitters, but there's not a whole lot to it. In Krishna consciousness, those things will come to you, but it matters how you deal with it. You can have the mystical experiences, but you even have to use that wisely. And you also have to remember that there are 8,400,000 different life forms. And just coming across another life form could be a mystical experience. But the point is, we should be dovetailing. We should be working on the mode of goodness, which increases the religious principles. And we should be increasing our religious principles to increase the mode of goodness. And at some point, you will also come to understand
that there is a process that goes beyond that, that does lead to love of God, which is the ultimate goal that we're here for. But every single step that a devotee is given by a bona fide spiritual master, including the process of chanting, has a purpose. It all has a purpose. You just can't throw it away. But when you start to graduate in Krishna consciousness, you will understand more and more. And the more in the mode of goodness you are, the more happy and the more blissful you are, because you understand real knowledge. You understand what is real and what isn't. And you are eliminating a lot of attachments. You're becoming detached from a lot of things that weigh us down. So I'm going to end at this point and open it up for any comments or questions or any experiences that one wants to share with us. Anyone? Mm-hmm. What would you do differently to be more in the mode of goodness? I mean, what? Well, not so much differently, but. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a good point, because meat eaters, it is very difficult for them to attain the mode of goodness. But those that are practicing vegetarianism have a better chance of coming to this realization. So you're right, diet is very important. And that was mentioned too in the 10 items, in taking care about what we eat and what we consume. So yeah, anybody else? Dr. Michael, do you have any comments on what you would, how you're practicing the mode of goodness, or how you would practice it, or how you practice it more? Any highlights there?
Just better association, like getting even more of that
weight. Mm-hmm. How can you tell if you've got better association?
I think it's almost self-evident. Like you don't really have to think about it, because if they're really advanced, you're gonna know.
Oh yeah.
I've met people who aren't even devotees who just know more than me, and you just you can't really argue with it. It's just they don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you say that you find your clique with the devotees, you know, that you're having a positive association with. Okay, that's a good.
I find, you know, like, you know, finding, you know, who you can take instruction from.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing, your shikshas, shiksha guru, that sort of thing. And that leads you to initiating guru.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, afterwards you don't feel like, you know, you're farther from the truth.
Right. You don't feel farther from the truth.
And sometimes it's tricky. Sometimes, you know, someone will tell you something and you'll be like, oh, are you doing that? Or they'll tell you something you don't want to hear, but then later on, you know, it cuts deep and then you're like, wow, I didn't need to hear that. Although at first I was like, you know.
How is it when you have someone tell you something you needed to hear but you don't want to hear, but later on you accept it? I mean, how do you feel about that?
At first, I was just kind of like, okay, you know, that's what they're telling you. That's their side of the picture. And
mm-hmm.
They're supporting it. You know, maybe they're supporting it if they're not with citation from their shastra.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sometimes people told me
And yeah, that can happen too.
And no wonder I had a negative feeling about it because it actually wasn't true.
Mm-hmm.
So you just gotta be careful. You gotta read.
You really do.
I remember,
you do. Right.
Yes.
Yes.
He still let it, get him more serious.
Mm-hmm. And that's what it does in essence, because there's a point where you don't have that ego like, you corrected me or you chastised me. Like, who are you? But when you intuitively know, when you walk away from the situation and you think about it, and it's like, there's some truth in what they said. That's a learning curve. That's a growth process that you've just gone through. I find that when those situations take place, then you go to a different level. You've grown more. You've experienced something differently. So you're changing. You're definitely changing. But it's also, for me, it's like, it's really heavy initially because unfortunately in the earlier years of my life, I was around a lot of negative people that did not help me. So in Krishna consciousness, if I hear something that corrects me, that takes me back to the point where it was negative in my life, but it's not the same. So it takes me a while for that to assimilate, for me to accept it. But once I do, it's like a relief and a release. It's like, I can breathe. And I feel lighter because I've been helped with some knowledge that will help me grow. And, you know, we shouldn't always expect someone to just tell us all the good things about ourselves because our ego inflates so quickly. But you don't want anyone just beating you down with negativity simply because that's their nature. So when you're hearing something from someone that's usually more senior than you are, you know, think about it, consider it. And, you know, if at times there needs to be a question it. But we are here to correct what should have been corrected in a previous life. So we will be given instructions, and even in the mode of goodness, we should be able to accept. There should be no good or bad. We should be totally equipoised, totally, whether one is a friend or an enemy or a nonsense or not. We should not even be so attached to that. We should not even be angry with it. That's between them and the Lord. If we can help them, fine. But you don't let that interrupt you on your path or your thinking of them. So when you're gravitating to the mode of goodness, you're also taking in more religious principles, which will eventually lead to more knowledge of the true you. And as I said, devotees that are in that mode, you'll find them smiling more. You'll find them blissful. You'll find it. And you'll even have moments of it. But the nice part is when you're constantly having moments of bliss. So, me personally, I know I have a lot of work to do. But I thank you for being here this morning. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaura Pramananda. Haribo, Hare Krishna. Namo Krishna.